Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 63, and you'll find something in your worship bulletin called Scripture Surfing on the inside of your worship bulletin. That's for this week coming up. If you were able to read through the scriptures that we had there last week, then you've already read all of these passages of Scripture. But the goal right now is to just very surface, just surf. Surf a little bit through these passages. The passages that if you were doing this, you read on Thursday and Friday. And then tonight we'll look at the passages that you've read on Saturday and Sunday. And so real quick, glance with me at Isaiah chapter 63. Let me just share a couple of points here that stood out to me as I read. In Isaiah 63, verse 12, it says, "Where is he who set his Holy Spirit among them, who sent his glorious arm of power to be at Moses' right hand, who divided the waters before them to gain for himself everlasting renown?" That is our God, the God that parts the waters. That's the God that can handle any problem, any difficulty that you're going through today. And then in chapter 64, we're going to dive down here, and our message in just a few moments is going to be on verses 1 through 9. So you'll want to hold your place here in Isaiah 64. And then in Isaiah 65, look at verse 24. Isaiah 65. "Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear." You know, that's how it is sometimes with the Lord. You know, sometimes before the prayer is even off of your tongue, He's already answered it. I would say that probably many times that's how it is. Sometimes we just beg for the answer and look for the answer, and He's already given it before we even utter the prayer. And then in 66, look at the second part of verse 2. "This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit, and who trembles at my word." Is that you? That's what God loves. Somebody who's humble and contrite in spirit. Then turn with me over to Matthew. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 and 5. "Jesus answered, 'Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming, I am the Christ, and will deceive many.'" There are many false prophets out there. There are many teachers, many things that you will hear. Check what you hear. Do the test that's found in 1 John chapter 4. You can read that on your own, but do the test. Check what you hear. Watch what you hear. Match it against God's Word. See if it matches up. Does it line up to God's Word? Jesus gave us that warning. And then in Matthew 25, look at verse 13. "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." That's what Jesus wants from every one of us. He just told a whole parable here about these ladies that were not ready at the time of the coming, the bridegroom. And he came and then the door was shut and that's it. It's too late. Are you ready? Are you watchful? Are you ready when death comes? It could come at any time. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, are you ready? Keep that in mind. Well, turn back to where you were holding your place in Isaiah. Let's look at Isaiah in verses 1 through 9 of Isaiah 64. You know, there was a story, I saw it in the form of a movie when I was a child. It was called Annie. And I'm sure many of you have seen it or seen a play or heard of it. And basically, if you think of Annie, the movie or the play or whatever form you think of Annie, you're probably going to think about the sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar. And you're going to start singing that song. But the whole story was about this orphan, Annie, this little red-headed orphan girl who basically had nothing but rags. Just a poor orphan. But then a man came along one day, very, very, very wealthy man, Daddy Warbucks, came by and adopted her. And all of a sudden, she went from rags to riches, just like that. The riches were hers. You've been adopted, if you're a believer. You are in rags. The rags, as Isaiah claims here, that our best works, your works of righteousness, they're filthy rags in God's sight. The best you can do as a human being is filthy rags in God's sight. Doesn't matter how good you try to be, it's filthy rags in God's sight. And so you were either once in rags or you're still in, you may still be in rags this morning. You might be sitting here listening this morning still in those rags. But the good news is what we're going to celebrate in just a few moments here, what the Lord Jesus Christ did, God in the flesh, the Son of God, but also God in the flesh who came down and went to that cross. He went to pay for all your filth and all my filth. When he went to that cross and he shed his blood, he took your punishment and he took mine. And we're going to celebrate that in just a little while. And he made the way to take you from your rags that you can do nothing about to his riches. And if you turn to him in faith, it's called repentance. If you turn from yourself and your sin and you acknowledge your rags and your sinfulness, you say, Lord, have mercy on me. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did. I'm coming to you. I'm yours. I give my life to you. I want to follow you. I trust you to save me from all my filth. If you do that in your heart, he instantly adopts you. He gives you the gift of his Holy Spirit. He comes to live on the inside of you. And he takes you to be with him. You will have abundant life, eternal life. And he brings you from rags to riches in that moment, in that instant. So you're either already in riches and no longer in the rags, or right now you need to move from the rags to the riches. You're in one of those two categories today. Look at Isaiah 64. Listen to verses 1 through 9. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to the enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you. You who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continued to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf. And like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people. First thing we notice here is, and this may be your heart this morning, the cry, the call to come in power, Lord. Come in power, Lord. We see that in those first three verses. Rend the heavens and come down. Maybe that's what you're saying this morning to the Lord. Maybe that's what you need to say throughout this next week as you go through this next week and you face different things. Come in power, Lord. Come in power. You see, it's a reminder. It's all about you, Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about these trials. It's not about anything else going on in this world. It's all about you. So come in power, Lord. Come in power. And then we also see here, and you can say this to the Lord, there is no other. Come in power, Lord. There is no other. You can tell him that. We see that in verse 4. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. There is no other. He acts on behalf of those who wait upon him. And the word wait upon him, we just looked at this a few messages ago. It's the same as Isaiah 40:31. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. You want to soar? You want to live the Christian life soaring on wings? Well, here's the key. Wait upon the Lord. The word means trust in the Lord. Come in power, Lord. There is no other. I'm waiting upon you. I'm trusting in you. It also means to look expectantly to someone. Lord, I'm looking expectantly to you, waiting upon you. That's the key, to soar on wings like eagles. Come in power, Lord, there is no other. And finally, though I don't deserve it, turn my rags to riches. We see that in verses 5 through 7 and also 8 and 9. Though I don't deserve it, turn my rags to riches, Lord. Maybe that's the cry of your heart this morning. I don't deserve it. But Lord, turn my rags to riches. You see, on my own, my best works are like filthy rags. That's what he's saying here. But then it says, yet, verse 8, yet, O Lord, yes, my best works are like filthy rags. Yes, I'm covered in sin. I'm a sinner. But verse 8, yet, O Lord, you are our Father. And then he says, you are our potter. I'm just clay. I'm this clay with these filthy rags. You're my potter. I'm just in your hand. I surrender to you. And then he says, oh, look upon us. The second part of verse 9. And the prayer is this, oh, look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people. If you have faith in him, he has adopted you. You've become his. You are his person. He's your potter. You're the clay. And the moment you put your faith in him, though you don't deserve it, your best works are like filthy rags, though you don't deserve it, he takes your rags. Let me tell you what he did with them. Here's what he did. He took your rags. Then 2,000 years ago, he became flesh. It tells us in John chapter 1. He became flesh and he made his dwelling among us. So 2,000 years ago, he came. The whole reason he came was to take your rags. So you don't have to wear them anymore. He came and he went to the cross, bearing your sins. And he took all of your transgressions, sins, iniquities. He took it all upon himself. And that was the whole reason he came, because God says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for sin. But if you pay for your own sins, you have to die. The wages of sin is death, and it means the second death. If you pay for your own sins, you have to die and be separated from him in hell for all eternity. But he doesn't want you to pay for your sins, so he came. And he entered time and space. And the Son of God, Jesus, came. He's also God, God in the flesh. He came and he went to that cross. And he took all of your sins upon him. And the Bible says, here's you, all we like sheep have gone astray, each of us to his own way. And here's all your sins, and here's all my sins. And here's Jesus, he's perfect. In Isaiah it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. That's all your filthy rags. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, he came 2,000 years ago and he took all of your rags upon himself. And then God poured out his wrath on Jesus and he punished all of your sin and he emptied the wrath of God on Jesus until he completely paid for your sins. And he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so he paid for every one of your sins. He experienced that death and that hell, your punishment. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead. Now he calls you to come to him. He just says, come to me. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. That's his call. Do you hear his voice? That's how he took your rags through what he did on the cross, through his resurrection. He took your rags. And if you go to him by faith and you say, wow, I can't believe you did that for me. Save me. Come into my life. Then he instantly gives you all his riches and you're adopted. You're adopted. Well, in just a moment, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. And as you take this bread and this cup, you remember what he went through to bring you from those rags to riches. You remember that as we observe his supper. And don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. As you take this supper, his supper, the Lord's supper, examine your heart right now. In just a moment, our deacons are going to come and they're going to serve the Lord's Supper. But your job is to examine your heart and confess any sin, any known sin. And if you're a baptized believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we invite you to partake in this Lord's Supper. But first examine your heart. And if there's anything that's wrong in your heart, anything that you know is displeasing to the Lord in your heart, and you're not dealing with it, then just let the supper pass on. You don't want to be guilty of the body and bread of the Lord, taking it in an unworthy manner. So just let the supper pass on to the next person. But the thing to do is deal with anything right now. Search your heart. Let the Lord search your heart. And if there's anything displeasing, confess that. Get right with the Lord. Agree with him about it. Receive his cleansing and his forgiveness and take his supper. Get your heart right. I want to invite our deacons to come at this time. God tells us this in 1 Corinthians 11, 23, second part of 23 and 24. Jesus was at this Last Supper with his disciples. They were having the Passover meal together, and he knew soon he was about to go out and go to that cross and die for their sins. And it says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Thank you. you see him and he lifts that bread and he gives thanks for it and he breaks it. He says, this is my body. This will be given up for you. And now you know. Now you know the whole story. His body was broken. His body was pierced for you, for your sins. So that you could live, so that you could be forgiven, so that you could have eternal life. He lived the perfect life you could never live. And by your faith in him, it's given to you as a gift, that righteousness. Pray with me. Father, we just thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us. Lord, we remember you. We remember you on that cross for us, for my sin. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. And they took the bread. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." As you drink this cup, remember the blood that was spilled, the blood that was shed for you. Jesus gave all. He gave everything. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for sin. And so the blood was shed. He shed his blood for you. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. And Jesus, we thank you for what you did, what you went through, what you suffered for our sins. Thank you for taking our punishment so that we could have your riches. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. And they took the cup. If you would, I'd like for you to pass your cups to some of the ends of the aisles. And gentlemen, I invite our deacons to take a seat again as they collect your cups. Well, what about you? Maybe you're here this morning and you didn't take the supper. Maybe there's something in your heart and you know that you're still in those rags. Maybe you haven't received this adoption, this free gift that the Lord has for you. Well, today is the day. God tells us in His Word, today is the day of salvation. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised a few hours from now. And so you can go right now. You can move from those rags to His riches. He already did everything necessary for you. He shed His blood. He died on that cross. He paid for all your sins so you don't have to pay for one of them. And your job is just to believe, to receive the gift, to trust Him. And so if that's you this morning, I want you to pray with me in just a moment. If the Lord is touching your heart and He's speaking those things to you, I want you to pray with me in just a moment. And maybe the Lord's doing something else in your life today. Maybe He's speaking something just for you, something that you need to hear. Maybe it's about this church. We all know from Hebrews 10 that He doesn't want us to forsake the meeting together of the believers, as some are in the habit of doing. No, God wants us being together, being with each other as the believers. And maybe you need a place to do that. Maybe you've realized this is the place you need to connect. Maybe you realize this is your church home, and maybe that's what the Lord's telling you. Well, in just a moment, Peyton's going to come. He's going to lead us in one more song. And when he begins to lead us in that song, if that's you, if you know the Lord's telling you to join this church, then you come, you walk down the aisle. If that's you that needs Jesus, you need to move from your rags to His riches. You come. You come. Whatever decision the Lord is leading you to make, you make it. If you need to pray, you pray during this time. But do whatever the Lord tells you to do. Peyton, if you'll come and lead us. I'll be here at the front. And if you just need to share something, share a word, I'll be here to pray with you. You come.